the apology from the Prime Minister in March in Italy. So they had all the elders there, community members from Italy, delegates from all the four Inuit regions. So this is from the Prime Minister, okay? My friends, to know where we are and where we're going, we first have to know where we came from. We have to know our history. We have to face the hard truths that are part of our past. Because for too long, the government's relationship with Inuit was one of double standards and of unfair and unequal treatment. While Canada was busy adopting the United Nations Universal Declaration of Human Rights, it was treating people throughout Inuit Nunangak as inferior, identifying Inuit with numbers instead of names, while kids in the south were being praised for learning their ABCs, Inuit children were being punished for speaking their language, while the government was hard at work creating universal health care. It was forcing Inuit into settlements where disease and infection rampant. And 70 years ago, while tuberculosis was raging across Canada, the government responded decisively in the south by opening new clinics and training doctors and nurses. But in the north, the government's approach to TB wasn't to show compassion or care, but to separate families and ignore people's rights. It was colonial and it was misguided. It wronged and harmed Inuit. I know that many of you present this morning were touched by this unjust policy and are still grieving the loss of loved ones. Today, I'm here to offer an official apology for the federal government's management of tuberculosis in the Arctic from the 1940s to the 1960s. Many of you know all too well how this policy played itself out. Without their consent, Inuit were screened. Anyone thought to have TB was sent south to cities like Hamilton and Edmonton for months or years of treatment in a sanatorium where almost no one spoke Inuit. For a long time, people believed that if you got on a ship in the harbor, you might never come home. Many people weren't given any time to prepare or to say goodbye to their loved ones. Many children were pulled away from their parents. Many elders were torn away from their homes. It is a grueling journey of thousands of kilometers on ships, on trains, and on planes. A trip that took days or even weeks. A trip that took lives along the way. And the mothers and fathers, brothers and sisters left behind often weren't told where their loved ones had gone or for how long. When someone passed away during treatment, they were buried in the south. Only sometimes was it in a marked grave, and only sometimes was their family told. When people did not make it home, they were often dropped back in their communities in the middle of winter without warm clothing and without their family being alerted. Those children that did return often came back to a family they didn't remember, a language they didn't speak, and a land of which they had no memory. There were years of isolation, confusion, and pain. But the government's management of TB wasn't one bad policy. It was only a piece of the larger history of destructive colonialism. History that the late poet Alutu Ipilip described saying, "I did not ask to be forced to learn an alien culture with an alien language." Inuit children sent to residential schools and federal hostels were forced to learn an alien language. They were neglected and abused. But just like in Alipi's poem, destiny acted itself out, deciding for me where I would come from and what I would be. Only it wasn't destiny deciding, it was the federal government. It was the federal government that decided that families, your families, would be moved off the land. The federal government that decided that Inuit would be exploited to assert Canadian sovereignty in the High Arctic. I know that people here today and across Inuit Nunangak live with the consequences of these policies, of these years when your communities and your rights were not respected. Because all of this, the forced relocation, the residential schools, the TB policy, it happened at the same time to the same people within just a few decades. It happened during the same years when the government identified Inuit with numbers on discs and when families had entire teams of dogs killed by officials. This was a shameful chapter in our history, and you know the results all too well. Culture and language were eroded. Families would never again be whole. Lives were shattered beyond repair. Those wrongs will never fade. Canada must carry that guilt and that shame. Today, I'm here to say sorry, to offer an official apology for the federal government's management of the tuberculosis epidemic from the 40s to the 60s. This policy wasn't an accident. It was purposeful. It was done even though the government of Canada knew the toll on Inuit families. It was done when the best interests of communities were not put first. To the people who were sent south, we are sorry. We are sorry for forcing you from your families, for not showing you the respect and care you deserve. We are sorry for your pain. To the people whose loved ones were taken away, we are sorry. We are sorry for breaking what is most precious, the love of a home. To the people who still don't know what happened to your children, your mothers, your fathers, we are sorry. To the communities that are facing the consequences of this policy and others, we are sorry. We are sorry that because of our mistakes, many Inuit don't trust the healthcare system, so they can't get help when they need it. We are sorry for the colonial mindset that drove the federal government's actions. The government has apologized to former residential school students and to Inuit who were forced to relocate. But the trauma passed from generation to generation remains and it runs deep. We now know that what we did was wrong. We now know that we must work to make it right. It shouldn't have taken us so many years to tell you that. We are sorry that you have carried this burden for too long. We are sorry that because we waited, there are many who will never hear this apology. Today, we take responsibility for the harm caused by the policies and the actions of the federal government. The path ahead will be long, but every step we take together. And without righting past wrongs, we cannot move forward. Today, the federal government is officially launching the Naninuvut Initiative, a truly collaborative effort in the program and providing funding to support its work. Ininukitut Naninuvut means let's find them, and that's what this project is about, finding and honoring Inuit who went missing during the TB epidemic and bringing healing and closure to everyone who was left behind. I can't begin to imagine what it would be like to lose someone you love and to go on never knowing what happened. Through the initiative, people will have access to information about what happened to their family. And we're providing funding for the four regional land claim organizations to support travel for some families who have found where their loved ones are buried. TB is preventable and curable. It doesn't have to cost lives. But TB is still taking away children, elders, and leaders. The incidence rate for Inuit in Inuit Nunangat is more than 300 times that of Canada's non-Indigenous population. That's unacceptable. We cannot repeat the mistakes of the past. We cannot impose solutions. That's why we're taking a new approach and following your lead. We must address poverty, food insecurity, and inadequate housing. Alongside our work to tackle TB directly, we're investing in the basics, including more than $640 million for housing in Inuit Nunavut. Of course, I don't have to tell anyone here that although we're making progress, we still have a long road ahead. There's no question that communities face very real challenges, but there's also no doubt that Inuit are resilient. Moving forward requires us to be willing to admit when we were wrong, to be ready. ready to do real work to make amends. That's why I'm here today. This morning's apologies I promise to you. It's a promise to never forget the harm that was done to Inuit and to your families. A promise on behalf of all Canadians to build a brighter future. We in the mix. Thank you.
That was from the Prime Minister.
Thank you for listening and sitting there so long. I'm so sorry. I got copies. If anyone needs copies, just let me know. Okay, I'll apologize.
I just want to make something information, I guess, to the participants here. After that apology, you had to understand Justin Trudeau took a couple of days to get the recovery, and he was committed to making that apology. But the media was there not to question the Prime Minister on the apology itself. The first question that came out of their mouth, because it was more important to them to put this to the media, was not about the apology, but what his thoughts were on SNC 11 and at the time. That was more important to the media for the world to hear rather than about the apology that the Prime Minister has given. That shows you how insensitive the outside world is to Aboriginal issues that affect us. We have to educate them. And this is where, at this type of forum, that your voices can be heard. You say what needs to be said, pass it on to your government, and let them know you want to be heard. This is not good enough. A lot of people's lives were changed because of this. Like he alluded to in his apology, first there was for the Labradorian Mute, number 7 Mute. There was the relocation of Hebron and the areas around it, never to go back home again. There was the mention about the residential schools where people were abused. Lives were changed forever. I survived that part of the era, I guess you can call it, and the TV policy. All of this was mentioned. Still, the outside world only heard, what are your points on? That was not the message that we should have been hearing. That they should have been kicked out there. They were there, you know. Some of them were brought up by the Prime Minister himself to promote his apology. So shame on them that we should express our feelings here too. And I'm happy that Kathy, that you are doing that research. And like I said, once I just maybe get some DNA. You gave like some, in this day and age, all the money that's been spent on other things, at least they can do is to assist with that. Thank you.
And that's why I wanted to read the apology, because it's so important for healing. And you guys weren't there for the apology, and I wanted you guys to hear it. That's why I wanted to present. I got in touch with Beverly, and I said, this is an opportunity for me to tell especially elders about this apology. To me, that was like the whole point of my job, was to tell the elders. You know, I can talk to people my age, but I can't speak to a room full of elders in an hour like I did tonight. So I have cards, call me, email me, get someone to call me if you don't have a phone or something, okay? And tell me where to go next. Where do I research? I don't think I will do what Joe says, though. The government might, but I won't.
Would you be providing an interpreter if there's somebody else who needs an interpreter?
For where?
If an individual decides to say he or she was in St. Anthony for a year or two and only speaks.
No, yes. For sure, yep. 100%. Oh, yes. That's never a question. Yep. Absolutely.
I'm so glad you read the apology. I'm becoming an elder too, and it's hard hearing people's stories, families not coming home. I think it's time that we stop accepting these silly apologies from the government. Apology after apology after apology is not good. We need to do something more concrete as Inuit, and soon it's going to be our turn to take over. We need to start learning how to do things like that to carry on what we're trying to do, and it's just to try to keep alive as people. Thank you.
Not to meet Kathy. I'm glad she called me on it. Actually, we were on the same hits, I think, because I was going to call her and then she was going to call me at the same time.
because, like she said, it's very, very important that her research is known, especially to your age category.
And
I know it's very, very difficult to hear a lot of things this week. It's going to be very, very difficult to hear, just like tonight. But as I was saying, it's about time we do reclaim our voices. And for us to hear it is when we will have courage to speak for ourselves, for our future, and especially for the ones that weren't able to speak, the ones that were silenced. So I'm sure that Louis, Lizzie, Sarah, and Joe will be helping me all week to get all that stuff out, to hear all the good stuff that's coming up in the next few years, and also even today, because it's not only about coming together and talking about really heavy, heavy issues, it's also about positive things that's happening in Lunatseabu. So before we leave, I just wanted to remind you of, you have this in your agendas as well, in your folders, the purpose of the conference. So one of the purposes, the first one, to remember and honor our strength. So important, because for years and years, through colonization and everything else, we have been put on the back burner. I'm not saying we as in me, but we as in you, your age and our own ancestors, our own parents, our own grandparents. And we need to remember that, and we need to honor that, to identify needs, issues, and challenges. And of course, we will be hearing from you, I'm sure, because there are so many, many issues and challenges and concerns that we need our government and everyone else to hear about. We need resolution. To identify ways to address some of those issues and challenges, and not only to talk about it here at the conference, but what will be our next step as seniors in our community, as elders in our community, or me as a community member, what are our next steps? We can't just leave it here. To develop a stronger relationship with others in our communities so we can reclaim our voices and be heard stronger than before. And I think that I said the speakers here, the panel here this evening will be helping me try and figure out ways of how do we bring back that motivation our parents had, our grandparents had, even we had, but we were always shot down, whether it was the government or anyone else. How do we do that? How do we inspire you and motivate you back to speaking up and working together for our own community? To motivate and inspire elders, not only yourselves, but even other elders in your community. And tomorrow I'll be talking about the summary that I did, the consultations I did with seniors across Lunatseabu, and also the issues and the challenges that's going to be coming up throughout the week. And of course, to provide opportunities to present information to you, which was a good example this evening. Thank you, Kathy, for your awesome presentation.